Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about political racism today. Some call it systemic racism. Is racism real, or is it something that's been conjured up during this election cycle? Just before the news break, we were talking about the fact that Kamala Harris, which has just been determined to be the running mate for Joe Biden in the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Party of the United States of America, running for president and vice president. And this is an article that has been well researched, and some of the facts have been laid out that many are not aware of. And that is that the Kamala Harris, she comes from a family of slaveholders. The head of the article, the headline of the article says, "Slaveholder to Senate Kamala Harris alienates black voters." And it goes on to talk about the fact that they had 5 slave plantations, 200 slaves. The family wealth was created by virtue of these plantations. Democrats are not out there ripping down all the founders. They've been ripping down the founders that have been known to be slave owners or slaveholders, or that were considered racist. And this article says now they're going to put somebody in the Oval Office who owned slaves and whose family did also own slaves. He goes further in the article. He cited the author of and filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza discovered that Harris's father, Donald A. Stanford professor, wrote an article in a Jamaican magazine several years ago boasting that he was a descendant from one of the Jamaica's largest slave-owning families, Hamilton Brown. And the article goes on and on and on with the depths of the discovery that they've made in relationship to that. Greg, what is it like to realize that here's the Democratic Party that's been pointing the finger at Donald J. Trump, calling him a racist, and then out of the Black Lives Matter, anti-American, anti-God, socialist, Marxist, communist group been tearing down the monuments and historical markers because they supposedly were slaveholders or were racist. How should we respond to and receive the fact that here's Kamala Harris that comes out of a family that was renowned for that?
Well, you know, it's nice to try to put the shoe on the other foot. You know, try to reverse the roles. If people are talking about, white, black, reverse to black, white. Reverse the characters, their position, white, black, rich, poor. Reverse the thing around and see if it makes sense, okay? Or imagine what the other side would say if the parties were reversed. If Kamala, Miss Harris, I'm not going to mispronounce that name, okay? Because I sucker Carlson did that the other night about a week ago. He was excoriated as if he was somehow or another.
He called it
Kamala, bigot,
and he was corrected that it's Kamala. But,
oh my goodness! As good as Kamala.
Harris,
okay, we'll go with Miss Harris. But in reversing things around, and of course they like to use the word. The left loves to use the word white privilege in an attempt to divide white and black. They love to do that. Okay, and with Miss Harris, I would have to say if she had an R behind her name, and she were the vice presidential nominee for Donald Trump, I am sure she'd get this question. Ma'am, Miss Harris, where does privilege come from? Does it come from your light skin, or does it come because it's on the backs of the slaves held by your family? Which did it come from? Because that's what we're told in this culture by the left today. If you're a white person under critical race theory, you are an oppressor, because somebody that was white oppressed somebody that was black. By the way, they never considered the obverse of that, the reverse of that, the fact that black people have been oppressed by white people have been oppressed by black people, and every shade and color and ethnicity in between has been oppressed someone else somewhere down through the eons of time. They point that out. They don't recognize that within the Americas, particularly the United States, particularly after colonization, becoming a nation in 1776, literally it was about 3% of Southern landowners that held slaves, about 3%. And by the way, it was the Democrats that wanted to perpetuate slavery, continue
yes.
slavery. They were the
yes.
founders of that perpetuation of slavery, the division of the United States, the Jim Crow laws, the KKK, right down the list. However, today they want to literally forget, pretend none of that existed, and they want to somehow or another point at white conservatives. Isn't that interesting? White conservatives, you're guilty, because nobody in the media will ask Harris that question. Where does your privilege come from? Where does your privilege
Greg, answer the question for our listeners. Which party was the Democrat or Republican Party that stood against the civil rights laws and that stood against the freeing of the slaves?
You have several civil rights acts, but it was Democrats that tried to put a stop to it. It took overwhelming Republican support. Yes, some Democrats came along, but not willingly. The longest filibuster in U.S. history came by a Democrat standing against the Civil Rights Act. And you go, con people, do you not know your history? But these individuals, because they hear things like Joe Biden, 4 years ago or 8 years ago, the other three times that he ran for president, he said that those Republicans want to put y'all back in chains. I mean, how much? Hold on a second. In the Democratic Party, the Democratic Convention today, they keep using the word divisive. This Donald Trump is so divisive. Now, some English grammarian, they're going to call me and say you're not pronouncing that right. So I'll pronounce it both ways. Donald Trump is so divisive. Was it divisive for Joe Biden to say Republicans want to put y'all back in chains? Was it divisive when less than 4 hours before the Dallas massacre, where five police officers were massacred in the streets of Dallas and two others severely injured, was it divisive on his part to talk about the systemic racism in America perpetrated by law enforcement? Was it wrong? Well, that ended in individuals putting feet on the on their anxiety and going out and shooting. Today, you saw the news break this morning. Everybody did. Where Chicago, a black young man comes up to a fella sweeping the sidewalk. This fella is serving the community. He's sweeping the sidewalk, but he happened to be white. And I guess under that critical race theory, that means he's an oppressor. And under that critical race theory, the young black man is oppressed. So he just took the opportunity to go ahead and slug the white man that was sweeping the sidewalk. But he's being told it's okay. He's being told it's okay because of the silence of the Democratic Party. Their silence is consent. Their silence is saying, this is all right. You are burning towns down. You're looting, you're robbing, you're committing assault and battery on individuals and police officers on a scale that we've never seen before, and it's okay because they're not going to – you watch the convention the rest of this week. I would challenge you, the likelihood is not one Democrat will stand out against the violence, against the racial divisiveness you see taking place, and it is stoked by – it is absolutely – planned, orchestrated within the left to create such chaos that maybe they can take back the reins of power. If they take back the reins of power, those radicals will be in power. We will see more chaos, more destruction, more looting, more burning.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Greg, what you're saying is so correct. And this is, some refer to it as reverse racism, but in reality, it is the end result of the socialist, Marxist, BLM, Democratic Communist Party that's promulgating that in society. Here's an article that says, mob brutally beats a driver unconscious, and during the beating, they shouting, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. The raw violence of the predator mobs that roam the streets of Portland, Oregon to meet out whatever brand of brutal justice they see fit was captured Sunday in a series of social media videos that shows a man being beaten after confrontation with demonstrators. Black Lives Matter thugs began to harass and physically assault him and his female partner in the street for defending someone they robbed. And it was a white couple, white man and white woman, but it's the Black Lives Matter thugs that literally had almost beaten him to death, beat him unconscious. But it has gone so far, Greg, and for our listeners to understand that with this thing of racism, It has gotten to the point even inanimate objects like signs are racist. Here's an article that says everything is racist today. Now includes the outdoor signs, except the accusers are exposing their own racism. This practice in the media journalist meeting to find a racial problem in society is becoming more than comical. It is bordering on pathological. It feels like an internal memo went out declaring that every member of the press has to come up with at least one systemic racist example by deadline. How can you explain the dolts and the criticism of racism for crosswalk signs? These crosswalk signs that are black and white, it shows a male or female image, etc. Now they're saying those signs are racist. They're saying that the federal parks and state parks are racist because they've done the survey and found that most of the visitors to those parks are white people and not people of color. So they're saying that state and federal parks are now racist incubators, and they're not, generally speaking, for everybody. Greg, hang in there. Don't turn away. We've got another caller. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hello, Dr. Youngblood. It's Brother Davis.
Brother Davis, welcome to the broadcast today. What have you got to add to what we're talking about?
Well, I really hate to see America going in the direction that it's going, and it's all due to the fact that a lot of people are allowing themselves to be sucked up into that vacuum, and pastors, you know, also included, along with the churches. It's a sad thing that pastors would allow themselves, you know, to be persuaded that these people, what they're saying and what they're trying to promote, is the right thing for them to teach their congregations and to allow, you know, people to be, you know, swayed in a different direction other than where they should be, which is in the Word of God. Now, I have one verse of Scripture here I just want to share, and this is what I want to say to the pastors, coming from the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 28. The Apostle Paul, when he knew he was on his way out of this world, he wanted to leave it in capable hands. So he said in verse 28, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Pastors, watch yourselves. Check yourselves. Examine yourselves and see whether you be in the faith. See whether your agenda is fitting with the Word of God so that you can shepherd. This is what the Apostle Paul was saying. And to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Pastors, you did not die for the church. Jesus Christ did. He shed his blood for the church. Amen. So therefore, your agenda should be to make sure that you are promoting the Word of God and helping the people of God to steer clear of the things that's in the world, especially with these things that we are seeing that's going on right now in the world. This is no time for us to pick flowers by the wayside. The life of America is at stake. And we need to learn as people of God, we are the ones that set the bar for the rest of the world. If we do the things that's right pertaining to the Word of God and let God lead us in the right way, then we can help lead them in the right way, because this world is in a terrible condition right now.
That's right. That's right. We need to set the standard and not follow the worldly standard, but set the standard based on the authority of the Scripture. And I find it, as you have said, it is so antithetical to biblical truth to find pastors, whatever race, whatever color, irregardless, but to find those that will take a stand with Black Lives Matter and even post it on their Facebook of being proud about the Black Lives Matter agenda. And I say that it's out of sheer ignorance of the Word of God and sheer ignorance of what is taking place in society, not realizing that Black Lives Matter has nothing to do with pigmentation of the skin, but all to do with a Marxist communist agenda to overthrow the United States of America and to destroy the reelection of President Donald J. Trump. Pastor Davis, thank you so much for the insight. And I would challenge all of our listeners to hear what has been said and understand what we as Christians, well, set the standard. We ought to be the ones that carries the flag of justice, biblically speaking, and honor God in what we say and do. Thank you so much for that. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go over to the question or comment, please. Hello?
I'm still here. I'm still here.
Okay, I thought we had another caller on the line. Go ahead. What are your comments for what our previous caller just said?
Listen, I am so thankful that Pastor David is calling. I do not know the man personally, but listening to him, that's my brother right there. That is my
Amen.
Brother. I am thankful that there are people that are willing to take such a stand and recognize that this body is one body. This body of Christ is one body. Jesus didn't come and die for black Christians, for red, yellow, black, or white Christians. He died for all believers, everyone that accepts Jesus' blood atonement for them on the cross. And this divisiveness is not Christian. Matter of fact, it's slightly out of context, because when Jesus said spoke about the house divided, he was saying that they were attributing his power to Lucifer, and he said a house divided can't stand. A house divided will fall. Okay, that was in Mark 23, I believe. Nonetheless, this house divided strategy is a leftist strategy. They know. They know what that Bible says is true. A house divided cannot. They want the house to collapse. And every time you hear them pronouncing Trump as divisive while they're in the midst of being as divisive as they can possibly be, I want for you to know that it is a political strategy to divide and to dismantle the United States of America. E pluribus unum has been replaced by unum e pluribus. They literally want to rip us apart, tear us apart, out of many one. No, it's not any good. We cannot be one as a nation and accept their policies. Therefore, they would rip us asunder in order to be in power, to be in control.
And Greg, that's exactly right. And what I'm saying, the reason I'm calling it political racism, because it's coming from the academic elite, political elitists and the world of academia. Here's an article that says, no white people are allowed on this road. Man, woman says group with guns attacked them, damaged their car near Atlanta, Wendy's Burger. Only African Americans are allowed on this road. You're white. You cannot go. You're a cracker. You're not allowed on this road. Turn around. And this is happening across the nation where there it is emboldening some of these young men and women of color that feel that somehow, some way, the political racist agenda that's being promulgated, that somehow those political speakers and media are right, and they're picking it up as being giving them the authority to go out and do what they're doing. And here's a good example of that coming from the classrooms, etc. Here's one that says, principal gets booted out of his position simply because of a critical comment about Black Lives Matter. Here's another article. Iowa State professor forbids students from criticizing Black Lives Matter or gay marriage or abortion. Here's one that says, statues of Jesus must go because now the Black Lives Matter say that Jesus symbolizes white supremacy, and as a result of its symbol of white supremacy, and by the way, a statue of Jesus or an image of Jesus has never symbolized white supremacy, but now as a result of this permeating divisiveness in society today, promulgated by the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Democratic Party, if I can be clear, that it is promulgated by that, that's the reason I'm calling it, political racism. And here's an article that further validates that. Seattle, Washington, to the Seattle white employees, your skin color is a crime. Further, it says, like this distorted picture of Seattle City Hall, so too was the content of the city's recent meeting for white employees only. The city of Seattle recently summoned its white employees only, and essentially told them, your skin color is a crime, according to the report on Tucker Carlson, and a truly extremist Orwellian perversion of anti-racism training. The meeting was officially called Interrupting Internalized Racial Superiority and Whiteness. They further told the group of white workers that we need to undo your whiteness, and they were to give up. This is what they, in the meeting, they told the white employees they had to give up. Give up your comfort. Give up spending time with your families. Give up guaranteed physical safety. Give up your relationships with other white people. Give up the niceties from your neighborhood and colleges. Give up the certainty of your job, end quote. That is, if you want to use the term, and I don't like it, reverse racism or discrimination, but it comes out of the political agenda that is espoused by the Socialist Marxist Communist Party. And here's the example dealing with the what is taking place today in that. With the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party coming out of the Marxist Handbook of Communism, let me just give our listeners, and then we can talk about it, Greg, for a moment. It is to divide our nation racially. It is to destroy our national heritage historical monument. It's to disrupt the nuclear family, man and a wife and children. It's to dismantle biblical sexuality and to push the sodomite marriages and the LGBTQ agenda. And ultimately, it is to dethrone God. For you see, God and his word must be removed from a Marxist communist society. And so that is the agenda. And we're watching it being played out today, Greg. And that is the thing that, as Brother Davis was just saying as he called in, that is so sad to see, whether it's white pastors or black pastors, whether it's people like Joel Osteen, others in the smaller churches, where they think that somehow, some way, to jump on that racial bandwagon is going to in some way ingratiate others to themselves is a fallacy, and it's a demonic delusion that's going to destroy our families and our churches, our homes, our ultimately our nation, if we do not turn it around. And even organizations like Chick-fil-A, Dan Cathy said about 2 months ago now, it's back in June, he calls for white Christians to repent of racism and to be able to wash the shoes, I call it kiss the boots, of any black person you see. He says, my plea would be for white people, rather than point fingers the kind of criminal efforts, that we would see the level of frustration and exasperation and almost every sense of hopelessness that exists in some of those activists within the black community, he said. He calls on white employees in his company to bow to and apologize to every black person. Now, Greg, I want you to speak to this because I believe you are proficient in it. Yes, 450 years ago, America might have been accused of slavery. But across the world today, correct me if I'm wrong, Greg, around the world today, every nation today, except America, practices some type of slavery, which is what America has been accused of, and it's born this political racism that is trying to divide our nation. But America is the only nation on the face of the globe that by legislation and by constitution and its amendments have absolutely said no to anything called slavery. Is that right or wrong?
Well, half right, half wrong in that, you know, it actively today, the active slave trade is taking place in countries in Africa, mostly dominated by Islamic law, Sharia law, but they're African nonetheless. America is one of few that eradicated slavery. We ended up, of the black African slaves that were taken, many times sold by neighboring tribes across Africa, sold and transported around the world, not just to the United States. I'm sorry. They were not shipped to the United States primarily. They were shipped to, you know, all over the world. At that time, colonists in the United States received about 5% of the black African slave trade. And then, of course, immediately in 1776, 1781, 1789, you see provisions that would do away with, eradicate. By 1806, we were anticipating shutting off the importation and the straight together within the newly United States. So literally, they're a brand new nation, brand new construct, and already had plans in place. You had many abolitionists within our founders. However, in order to create the unity of those 13 colonies, they had to say, okay, we'll not make this a special provision, except for to say in 1806 or later, we can cut off the importation of slaves. Now, that was a very unpopular thing among Democrats in the South. Nonetheless, we had a plan from the beginning, and even that three-fifths compromise, that is very clearly, according to Frederick Douglass, an anti-slave provision. It prevented individuals from importing slaves in order to get more power in the federal government. understand representation power. That's also why illegals should not be represented in Congress. They're not legally here. They're not lawfully a part of our system. However, for every 600 and some odd thousand of these illegal aliens, they have another representative in Congress. But that three-fifths compromise said, hey, you can't just import more slaves and therefore get more representation. It's a great construct. However, today we have individuals that are lied to, and they're told, hey, you were only counted as three-fifths of a person. Well, the slave owners in the South wanted to call them chattel, wanted to call them property, but also call them people for the purpose of representation. They weren't getting a vote, but they would get more representatives in Congress. Now, if you can't do the math, I can give you whiteboard talk. Give me a call, folks. Reach out to me on Facebook, and I will show you how that's an anti-slave provision. We in America are absolutely blessed of God, and we eradicated slavery in this country while it continued to go on around the world and continues today in parts across Africa. If you want to stand up for black lives, stand against the abortion. Stand against the violence taking place in Chicago where dozens are killed virtually every single weekend, mostly black-on-black crime. If you want to stand against racism, stand up for the young children in Baltimore that are not being educated in the government-controlled schools, where 13 schools kids are not able to read at grade level. Not a single one of them. However, they're spending enormous amounts of your taxpayer dollars. If you want to stand against racism, America is a good country. You pick the little cities and the little states run by little tyrants many times, most of the time, almost every single time, Democrats. You go to those little cities, you go to those towns, you go to those states, and you stand for your community. Red, yellow, white. Now, by the way, as a believer, if you're a part of an organization, a fraternity, a sorority, a church, a school that is against white people or against black people, get out of that church today. If they're not welcome with open arms, red, yellow, black, and white, get out of that organization today.
That's right.
Somehow or another, we have forgotten that divisiveness, that hatefulness, that is not of God. That is not of God, and you need to get away from it.
Absolutely. And Greg, I'm looking at an article here. We've got about 45 seconds, and I'll tuck it in, and then we'll let you wrap up the comment. The headline on this says, grade school requiring children to study book about whiteness. A grade school in wealthy Pennsylvania school district is requiring school children to study a book called Not My Idea. The book is about whiteness, which claims white people who relate to police officers or decline to watch the news are complicit racist, end quote. Greg, what is the answer for Christians, for our listeners today? How should we respond? How should we then live? What is the answer to the problem that we're faced with, which I'm calling political racism?
You know, for 2 Timothy 1:7 said, God has not given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Take the sound mind that God has given you and realize this divisiveness is not right. It's wrenching our country apart.
Absolutely, and it is where we need to turn to God and ask Him to heal our land. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today on this Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issue.
9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.